You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
It's that time of the week again. I've got Steve on the line. How's it going, Steve?
Yeah, quite good, mate. Yes, no worries. We're going okay. Everything's going along all right. We've got the Warne Memorial tonight, the day we're recording this, so that should be interesting. I hope they do justice to the great man, and it's a great, terrific show.
Yeah, I got to go out tonight, so I'm going to have to record it and probably watch it tomorrow. But yeah, I'll get to it eventually, hopefully. But hopefully it's good.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think he'll go off in style, which is the way he would have liked, so that's good.
Yeah, he deserves a great send off. So, how's your week been anyway?
Yeah, all right, okay. Yeah, been getting a bit of exercise, going to the gym and doing quizzes for other people and doing a couple of whatever happened to. So I've been fairly occupied, so I'm very happy with that. That's, as long as I can keep the brain functioning, that's the main thing.
That's good. And doing your Wordle or whatever the day?
Yeah, doing Wordle, yeah. Got it out today again. Enjoy doing that. That's a good thing to do in the morning, first thing, because you know your brain's in operation if you can get it out. So that's the main, I enjoy that a great deal.
Yeah. I'm a bit hopeless at word puzzles, but anyway, who we got to talk about tonight?
Well, we've got a very interesting gentleman, which is one I came across just a while ago, and I thought, yeah, this is a guy who had three or four big songs, or maybe five, and I thought, well, he'd be an ideal subject, and it's Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas.
Oh, okay, I don't really know much about them. I think they get used in the overnight mix a little bit. I remember seeing the name there, but that's about it, I think.
Yeah, well, he had about three or four good songs, which I'll mention later, and quite an interesting little story.
Cool. Let's hear it.
His real name was William Howard Ashton, and he was born on the 19th of August 1943 at a place called Bootle, B-O-O-T-L-E, which is around the Liverpool district. Now, as an aside, and I came across this on Wikipedia, that Bootle is described now, and this is February this year, described now as the most dangerous medium-sized town in Merseyside and the second most dangerous out of Merseyside's towns in the city as of February 22. I'm not sure whether the place had that rating when he was born, but it doesn't sound like an overly salubrious area to be. But that aside, anyway, he was the youngest of seven siblings, and he took up an engineering apprenticeship with British Railways. And he played with them guitar in a group that he had formed himself. But the story goes that he actually had his guitar stolen, and as he couldn't afford to buy a new one, he ended up switching to become the lead singer. He chose the name Kramer randomly from a phone book. I think we've heard that story before. And a fellow by the name of John Lennon suggested that the J be added to his name to distinguishing him from others. Now, in an interview quite a while ago, Kramer said that there was a magazine poll which listed him, Kramer, as the second most popular artist in the Liverpool Merseyside area behind, guess who, the Beatles.
I think Daylight was probably second, though.
Well, I'm only quoting what he said, so whether that was right or wrong, who would know? But anyway, Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, as we know, he soon added Kramer to his list of local artists, and Kramer returned professional upon this happening, although his backing group, who were called the Coasters, were less keen. So Epstein found him a Manchester-based group called the Dakotas. Now, they wanted a recording contract of their own because they felt that they were fairly good from an instrumental point of view. So the group actually then became Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas, so both parties could keep their own identities. Now, they signed to the Parlophone label, of course, which is where the Beatles were first went to, under George Martin, who would have said, I don't have any factual info on this, but Kramer didn't get along with George Martin, but I dare say that they worked through it because they did manage to get some songs out. Now, it was indicated by a book reviewer of Billy J. Kramer's book, which was called Do You Want to Know a Secret, named after the first song that he did, that Kramer and the Dakotas didn't get on with each other either. So I don't know how they come up with all these great songs without getting on with each other. I can't give you any actual quotes, particular quotes, whereby this stuff happened, because I don't have access to the book. But I thought that was an interesting revelation that the lead singer and the group didn't get on, but they still managed to produce some very good songs. He did, however, know and get on with the Beatles, and that was very instrumental in his success later on. He first saw them in 1960 and predicted that they would be sensations, and he was quite right, of course. And now, he was offered, "Do You Want to Know a Secret?" And it actually, they recorded it, and it reached number two in the UK and number one on some UK charts. In 1963, Cramer, in yet another interview, said it was the first Lennon-McCartney song single recorded by an artist before the Beatles' version of the song appeared on their Please Please Me album. Later that year, Bad to Me reached number one in the UK, and that was followed in 1964 by another chart topper in the UK, Little Children. And he was reluctant to actually do that song because Lennon McCartney wanted him to do another song, of which the name's not mentioned. But in spite of that, Little Children reached number seven in the US. And then a third time release of Bad to Me finally did succeed in the US, reaching number seven. In 1964, another song called From a Window reached number 10 in the UK and 23 in the US. And in 1965, their last big hit, Trains and Boats and Planes, reached number 12 in the UK and 47 in the US. Although I must say that the only Warwick's version of the song was far more successful than Billy Jay's and the Dakotas. Now, Do You Want to Know a Secret, Bad to Me and From a Window were all Lennon McCartney compositions, so that's where the connection with the Beatles certainly helped him achieve great success. And he appeared on the normal big-time shows back in those days on Shindig, Hullabaloo, which was hosted by Brian Epstein, and the Ed Sullivan Show. Interestingly enough, though, the Dakotas brought out an instrumental song which was called The Cruel Sea, although it was called The Cruel Surf in the US, and it would reach top 20 in the UK. And The Benchers, another instrumental group of great note, actually covered this song later on. Now, We're Doing Fine, which was another song that they recorded, was a 1965 flop, and that was unfortunately their last song, and they parted company after that. So Cramer lived after that in Rugby, Warwickshire. Now, I think we a couple of weeks ago we mentioned Rugby, Warwickshire is where a lot of these pop groups and pop bands were formed. And he married there in 1968. And for the next 15 years or so, he worked in television and cabaret with a new band in the Manchester area, and then moved to the USA, recording several songs which failed to chart. He recorded a CD in 2012, which was called I Won the Fight. I'm not quite sure of the significance of that title, but that was released in 2013 after recording it in 2012, as I mentioned. And then in the same year, he provided the intro to the graphic novel, and I'm not sure whether you know anything about this, Josh, I checked it out, called The Fifth Beatle.
Oh, don't know. Sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, by a fellow by the name now, it's all not quite unpronounceable, but difficult enough. Vivek Tiwary, T-I-W-A-R-Y, and that book actually reached number one on the New York bestseller list in its third week of publication. So that was quite significant. I haven't had access to it, and I haven't been able to see it, so I don't know much about it.
The Fifth Beatle, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I might leave it to you. You might have greater resources than I do, I'm not sure. In 2015, he was part of the British Invasion 50th Anniversary Tour performing in the UK and the USA. It's another one of the tours that he's continued on, Josh. They'll keep on going forever and ever, I tell you. Now, he's still with us today, which is a pretty good effort, because he actually had an alcoholic addiction which began during his time at the Top. And he was also said to, not to have been in another interview, which I think I noted, he said that he didn't enjoy the fame all that much, along with the notoriety, because he was very much an introvert by nature. But I must admit, I certainly enjoy listening to those songs which made him famous. Now, as for the Dakotas, they reformed in the 1980s and recruited some new members, and they appeared on, guess what, nostalgia tours. And according to the latest notes, they still tour and record, although none of the original members are involved with the group.
Okay, so it's a bit like the Fortunes and whatnot.
Very similar to a lot of these stories. After these groups seem to fade out after two or three or four years, they do seem to either reform with a different lineup, or fade away completely in view, or return in on these nostalgia tours, Josh.
Okay. I'm just looking up the fifth Beatle as well. It's interesting. It's about George Epstein, the manager of the Beatles, about his life.
Brian Epstein.
Well, what did I say?
George. You said George.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting confused. Brian Epstein, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been able to locate it, but I'm sure that would be a very interesting story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he passed away fairly young, Brian Epstein. So I think the stress of the whole Beatles thing and the managerial type duties probably might have got to him.
Yes. Yeah.
So that basically that's the story, Josh, on Billy Jay and the Dakotas. Now I've got four songs to request, boy, to you, and they are in order. And the first one, let's just do the first one. The first one would be Little Children. That would be my number one pick.
Well, here's Billy Jay Kramer and the Dakotas with Little Children. Nice song, and it's hard to believe they didn't like each other.
I was astounded to read that, because obviously the longevity of the group wasn't all that long anyway, but they certainly put together some good songs, I must admit.
Yeah, it's very good, and yeah, a good artist. It's good to learn about him.
And the other three songs that I've got there were the three songs that I mentioned, which are called Bad to Me, From a Window, and Trains and Boats and Planes. Thanks, Josh.
Okay, I think we can do that. And did you have anything else you'd like to add today?
Josh, as this show is going to air on my late mother's birthday, I thought we just might play a little song. This is from me to her. And this was a favourite song of hers. She loved a lot of the old songs. And I know there were two favourites that she had. One was Stardust. And another one, which I'm going to ask you to play, would be Deep Purple.
The song, not the band.
No, definitely not the fan. I don't think my mum would have been familiar with that, to be quite frank with you. The Deep Purple version that I'm after is from an album by a fellow called Jimmy Rogers, who may well be a subject of whatever happened to her at a later date.
Okay, well, I can do that as well, and I'll dedicate it to her.
Yeah, thanks very much. I mean, she's been gone a fair while, but just thought as a little celebratory thing, who knows where she might be. And she might be saying, my son is doing all right now with this show.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening and enjoying it as well, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks for that, Josh. And I look forward to doing another one. I think this is our 39th, whatever happened to. I know we've done a couple of other shows in the meantime, but 39 of them already. So it goes pretty quick.
I know.
Another three quarters of a year, so another 13 more, and we've got the 52, and we've done a year's work, so that's pretty good stuff, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll have to do a special one for the year.
I think we might get there. Might do a three-hour special again, George.
You'll have to come down, yeah.
I might do that. We'll just work on that one.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, and to the listeners, and to my friend Lucy up on the Gold Coast, who's having a bit of trouble getting reception up there the last couple of weeks, so hopefully she gets to listen to this one. So that would be very good if she can do that. And I look forward to catching up with you and the listeners next week, Josh.
Yeah, well, I hope she's listening. Just remember, she can catch up on the podcast channel later if she misses out. But yeah, we had a last night. There was a big blackout in Shepparton. The station was off air for a few hours north of Shepparton. Fortunately, where I live, we had no problems at all. So I don't know, just unlucky. This area, he heard the stations in, got caught, but yeah, not much you can do, unfortunately, when that happens.
As long as we got the Monday night show in, Josh, that's the most important thing.
Yes, well, you have a good weekend, and good luck to my team, Richmond, not so much to your team, but...
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah. I just might make mention that after this round two, we are on top. This is not going to last, so, but for the moment, we are kingpins. And I'm going to say, well, good on us.
I know. Well, you're a Hawthorne supporter. I'm a Richmond one. I suppose we've both had a bit of success the last 10 years or so.
We've been very spoiled, Josh, I can assure you.
Yeah, both of us. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks, Steve. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
Have a good one, mate. All the best to you and the listeners.
Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.